Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them up to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, chapter 11. We've got the microphones on the tables. That went extremely well. And this is what I urge each of you to do. If you guys have not downloaded that app, shame on you. If not, mcog.org, and it'll link up to it. But what I'm saying is, it's really helpful. Like after tonight, even though you're here, go back and listen to it. Because I've done it over the last, up the last few days, actually. And, man, you pick up on things again. I'll hear a question, I'm like, boy, that's a good question. You know, maybe I need to elaborate on that. But whatever information you don't get tonight, it's really right at your fingertips to kind of listen to it. And you can stop it. You know, you can kind of go back and listen to it again, go back 15 seconds before that and hear the question again and hear. It's really, really good to hear, especially with a discussion like this right here. But if you don't have the app, it's mcog.org, O-R-G, and I think it links straight up to it. I've just got the app, and it's really easy on the app. You just hit media, and it's got sermons that pastor preaches, some that we got here, Sunday school lessons. This past Sunday school lesson was on it, Matthew 24. And these right here have been on it. Brother Dave's the one puts them on there. And last Wednesday turned out very well. So if you got a question, raise your hand. Let's keep doing these microphones, because that way if you don't ask the question in the microphone, whoever's listening or you're trying to go back and listen, they got no idea what you said. And you got me answering something, and you're like, what was that? What'd he say? What'd she say? What was that? You know, so let's just take our time, and we want to discuss it as much as possible. But last week I'd hoped to get through this, but we didn't quite make it, so no big deal. We're going to talk about the two witnesses right now, and then move on into the false prophet and the beast a little bit, Mark of the Beast and stuff like that. But chapter 11, if you don't care, go ahead and get that way. And I'm going to ask somebody to read for me. If you don't care, anyone at all want to read. Z, give Z that microphone right there. You now turn it on. Hold. Z, read chapter 1 through verse 13, please. 11. I'm sorry, verse 1 through 13. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 13.
Alrighty.
Speak into the mic, please.
And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is within the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, that they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and shall kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood on their feet, And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven.
Amen. Thank you, Z. Thank you very much. The two witnesses, okay? That's a biggie. Everybody always likes talking about the two witnesses, who they are and things like that. But before we do, let's go into what Z read there. And it says, and there was given me a reed like a rod. The angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. There again, there has to be a temple built. Okay? So in other words, in Israel right now, in Jerusalem currently, there is no temple built. Okay? So that is going to definitely happen. We know that, and as we talked last week, and then obviously this past Sunday, as we was talking about Matthew chapter 24, if you were here Sunday school. If not, go back on the app and listen to it. But as Jesus talked about, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. So in other words, where's the holy place at? It's in the temple. Where's the temple at? It's got to be in Jerusalem. So in other words, there's some things that's going to happen, okay? There's going to be a time, and a lot of people believe that there's going to be a treaty signed between the Antichrist and the nation of Israel. And when that treaty is signed, according to Daniel, the time clock begins. That is the 70th week of Daniel. And middle way through that 70th week of Daniel, there will be a betrayal. There will be, that covenant will be broken. And what is going to happen is the middle of that tribulation, as we touched a little bit last week and this past Sunday, for those that were with us, there's going to be a covenant sign that's going to allow Israel to build their temple. Okay? They're going to feel peace enough to do so, and they're going to build their temple. Some people believe it's on the tail end after that Gog-Magog battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39, to where God miraculously delivers them and destroys a lot of the nations that are against them, their armies. So if those armies were destroyed, guess what? Those people that were against Israel and hate Israel and would fight, World War III would break loose if they tried to rebuild their temple, as everybody would say. Well, guess what? If you're annihilated, you ain't got a lot of say in it no more, do you? I mean, think about it. What if you don't like it? It don't matter. Your army got decimated. Your voice is going to be a lot lower. You can't enforce anything. But in other words, but this man of sin that's going to come, this Antichrist, the one that's going to have all the answers, Vicky, all the world will marvel after him. That's what the Bible says. They marvel after him. Who is like unto the beast? That's what they say. Who is like him? Who could deliver us from economic turmoil? And we've seen how the economies of the world's crashed. Who is like him? Not only that, who in the world could bring Middle East peace? Think about that. Every Miss America pageant when I was little, they'd ask them, what do you want? And they would say, what? World peace. World peace. Yay, what a generic answer. You know, and I know for the most part they were just saying that because that's what, you know, lip service, whatever. But world peace is something we'd all like to see. But you're not going to see world peace until the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back. I'm going to tell you that right now because the devil hates people and he wants to see death and destruction and things like that. But there's going to be a period of time, Josh, when everything's erupted. And this man of war, this man, this Antichrist, is he going to have all the answers? And he's going to sign that covenant with Israel and they're going to build that temple. Okay? But there are still going to be a remnant of people, 144,000 that we talked about. And these two witnesses, as Z read, are not going to be fooled by the Antichrist. They're not going to be friends of the Antichrist. Okay? And these two witnesses, the Bible said, they will preach, as she read it, 1,260 days. That is 3.5 years with a 360-day Jewish year is what that is, as we kind of touched on that last week. They've got 3.5 year ministry par. They've got 3.5 years to do what God tells them to do. So about the beginning of the tribulation period, that pretty well tells me, because you've got a 3.5 year and a 3.5 year, and they're not there when Jesus comes back at Armageddon. So simple math tells me it's around the first part of the tribulation period is when this is going to happen. They're going to come out, and it says that they were clothed in sackcloth. That tells me what their ministry is going to consist of. And I've always said it this way, and when I say this, please don't think I'm talking about any specific popular minister in the world today. But the two witnesses are not going to write any popular self-help books like Joe Osteen. They're not going to be preaching prosperity. They're going to be repent, repent, repent. They're clothed in sackcloth, just like the old prophets were. When they had to deliver a message of judgment, a message of repentance, what did David do when he wanted to repent? He in sackcloth and ashes. So that's what their ministry is going to consist of. And the Bible says that the people of the world, by what Z just read us, they hate them. They hate them. And I think even in our world today, we can understand this. People say they like to hear the truth, but they don't want to hear the truth. And if you're living and you're prospering by following after the beast, and these guys are here saying, this guy ain't who he says he is, you better beware. This is what's coming. This is what's coming. And the Bible says there'll be people that'll come against him and try to end their lives. And fire will come out of them and devour them. So in other words, they'll be untouchable. It don't mean who tries to assassinate them. It don't mean the CIA or the Russian mafia or whatever. They're not going to be able to touch these guys. They're not going to be able to. So the people are going to hate them. You understand that? Just like people hate the truth today, but magnify that by a million. Okay? That's what's going to happen. And they're going to be preaching. I could hear it. I could actually almost hear it. You thought John the Baptist preached sharp. And Elijah. Imagine these guys right here in this day. Okay? Kings. Speaking of Elijah, Ahab tried to kill Elijah. He searched for people to find him. We're going to kill this prophet. Well, guess what? They ain't running from nobody in this 3.5 years. You can search for them. They ain't hiding. Elijah was hiding back in those days until the time came and he issued the challenge on Mount Carmel. But they ain't going to be hiding because they don't have to hide. Okay? And as she read, it says, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemy. If any man hurts them, he must in this manner be killed. Now you think about that. Now keep in mind, we're talking about the same God. The same God that everybody says, God won't send nobody to hell. God ain't going to send nobody to hell. Can I tell you something right now, folks? If you do not have the blood of Jesus applied, in hell you will lift up your eyes. God didn't put you there. You chose that by the rejection of the Son of God. How can we escape, Josh, if we neglect so great a salvation? That's what the Bible says. Okay? So at this time period, God, no, the church is gone. The age of grace, to an extent, is gone, the church age. The rapture of the church is already took place. The church is up in heaven. The world is turning into a hell in a handbasket, as the old saying. That's what my dad used to always say. It's went to hell in a handbasket. That's probably an accurate description for this time period. Hell in a handbasket. That's really what's happening on the earth. And now you got these two witnesses. Not only are they preaching the truth, not only are they preaching it straightforward down the middle, calling it like it is, in a time frame that nobody wants to hear it. You think it's bad now, imagine it then. And it says this, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So in other words, not only are they preaching the gospel, but they are pronouncing judgment. Plain and simple. Not only is fire coming out of the mouth, they're shutting up the heavens. They're not getting no rain. The waters turn to blood. Now listen, guys, you got to keep in mind this is during a time period where there's very little food. We talked last week. The fresh water is turning bitter. You're chasing mud holes to drink out of. Think about it. And then the rain, the heavens get shut up for 3.5 years if they so choose. Think about it, guys. Think of the desperation that will be on the people that day and how much they're going to hate them. Because here's the deal. They're not going to listen to what they got to say and turn to God. They're going to blame them. You're the reason we're going through this. Disregarding par. No, the reason is you've ignored the truth of God. You've been told by these men what this is. But we don't want to hear it. You're the fault of this. You're the fault of that. That is the mentality that people are going to have. They're not going to they don't want to turn to God. They have chosen their path. Okay? This is about the middle of the tribulation period. When the tribulation is ending and the great tribulation is about to begin. And I just be honest with you. I think the further we go in the tribulation period, the less people you will likely see saved, is what I'm trying to say. The first 3.5 years, you may have some people come, but then as it further it goes on and the destruction and the desperation and the mark of the beast comes into play, as we shared last week, you can say you ain't going to take it all day long, twice on Sundays, but what if your child is starving to death? What if your grandchild that was conceived after the rapture is starving to death? You can say, I won't take it. But let's see that baby go hungry and die. When all you got to do is run into the government office and take your mark, and then you can go buy that food or that infant meal or whatever that baby needs to survive. You can say that I won't. Can I be saved? Will I be saved? Do you want to be here? I don't. The church don't have to be here. We're given that opportunity right now. That's why today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. But it can shut the heavens up. And how do I know that people hate him, Terry? Because as Z read, when they're killed, nobody can kill them. Nobody can hurt them. Nobody can touch them. But in about the 3.5 year period, the Antichrist, having all the power of Satan, is going to kill them. He's the one that's going to do it. And now, oh my goodness, That's going to excite the people even more toward him. Now all of a sudden, he's our hero. You got rid of the one that tormented us. How do I know? They celebrate as you read it. They're celebrating. They're sending gifts. They're celebrating. The ones that tormented us are dead. And the Bible says they'd suffer not their bodies to even be buried. For 3.5 days, their dead bodies lay in the streets. Think about that, guys. The Jews and the Muslims don't do that. They bury him before the sun goes down. Because that dead body is filth. That dead body is disease. But they hate them so much, they desecrate them so much, they let them just stay there to rot as they see it. 3.5 years or 3.5 days, they're celebrating, sending gifts one to another. Because these people that tormented us are dead. And for 3.5 days, they suffered them not to even be buried. Has this ever happened before in history? Absolutely. When Benito Mussolini, who was the Italian dictator in World War II, one of the reasons, a lot of people don't understand this, one of the reasons Hitler chose his ending like he chose, he didn't want to end up like Mussolini. What happened to Mussolini is the people got to him. They tormented him and killed him and hung him up in the town square, and his body, his carcass, hung there for a while. Picture and film is taken of it. Hitler didn't want to end up like that. That's why Hitler chose the way he chose. He didn't want to be a public spectacle. So the people already have it in them to do it. We've seen it in history. So in 3.5 days, they're going to lay there, Leanne. Lay there, and people celebrating. These people that tormented us are gone. But then, guess what happens? In 3.5 days, the Bible says the Spirit of God comes into them. Breath re-enters their bodies. They raised their feet, come up hither, boom, and they're gone. And the Bible says they all see it. Could you imagine seeing that happen, Tommy? Could you imagine watching CNN? Because they'll probably still be here, Par. Could you imagine watching those news things or whatever it is, and you're not over there that day? You're not living in Jerusalem. You're not there in the square or wherever that happens at. And you're watching news, and all of a sudden, boom, they stand up, Vicky. Could you imagine the fear that's going to go over them? They were so happy it was over. And boom, they're raptured out of here and gone. The Spirit of God comes in. They hear, come up hither, and gone. And then an earthquake happens. Folks, God ain't messing around. Teresa, get your microphone.
Yeah, in those 3.5 days when they start sending gifts, like in years past, hundreds of years, we would never, we'd say, how are they going to send gifts? Well, look at Amazon now.
Oh, yeah,
you can get it in a day. You can get it in hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the gifts are going to be there.
Absolutely.
That's how they're going to be sent.
Absolutely. People, there's going to be a celebratory, worldwide celebration take place because these people that tormented them are gone. Okay? Now, who are the two witnesses? That's the good question. Who are the two witnesses? Now, listen. We can only speculate by what the Bible says here. This is just speculation, and we can only just give a good guess because nobody knows. The Bible doesn't name them. Amen? The Bible doesn't name them, so we can only talk and speculate and stuff of that nature. And I have my own opinions as well, and I don't care to share them. But as we read, Josh, some of the miracles that they do kind of gives us a little bit of something. They're shutting up the heavens that it don't rain. I remember there was an old boy that did that too. They're turning the water into blood. Remember there was an old boy done that too. Anybody remember them too? And one of those old boys, he didn't die, Vicky. He was translated. He went on Mount Carmel and he called fire down from heaven. Well, God brought fire from heaven. He prayed it down, I guess you could say. So when people say you can't pray down a fire, then you better remind them of Elijah, because he sure did. But here you got one like that, and then we remember Moses when he went to Pharaoh. What was one of the plagues that God poured out on the nation of Egypt? The water turned to blood. That would be my two guesses. I'll just share that with you. That would be my two guesses. Do I know it's them? No. Bible don't say for sure. But going by that right there, and one of the reasons I say Elijah as well, is because in Malachi it talks about that Elijah would come before the Messiah came. So there's a prophecy that links Elijah coming before that. So I would link them two with it more so than anybody else. And the other guy that everybody brings up is Enoch, because Enoch did not die. You know, for he was not, the Lord took him. My opinion, and I want to make that plain, my opinion, okay, is not Enoch, because one, we're talking about a Jewish situation here. Okay? Remember, we're in the 70th week of Daniel. That's the big thing that we fail to grasp a lot of times being Americans of church background. We sort of forget that before John saw on the Isle of Patmos, then we had the book of Revelation, Daniel saw in Babylon. In Babylon, it was called the time of Jacob's trouble. So that 7 years, as we know, the tribulation period was called Jacob's trouble. Who's Jacob? Israel. Israel's trouble. Now the world, yes, Daniel didn't get to see everything John saw. Okay? I agree with that. God expanded more to John a little bit more because Daniel wanted to know what was going to happen to his people. That was what he specifically prayed. So God showed him. So now all of a sudden we've got two witnesses that I believe full wholeheartedly have two that represent the prophets and the law. Because now you've got all these Jews that God is still wanting them to see Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if you want to know what the two witnesses preach, they're going to preach Jesus and Him crucified. There's no other gospel to preach, Sam. There's no new message. They're not going to come and just come up with some kind of new thing. They're going to say, listen, here's what happened. You guys rejected Him. He was born of a virgin. You crucified Him. You hung Him on a cross, and He raised the third day. And He has come to save you. That's what they're going to preach, plain and simple, because there's no other gospel to preach. God's not going to let them come, Vicky, and preach some kind of false doctrine. There's no need for them to come back and spout a bunch of laws and stuff about prophecies and stuff. They're going to preach Jesus. I truly believe that. But I do believe they'll have the ability to probably tie some of that Old Testament stuff into those Jews that believe so heartily in it. And if they're sitting there telling you, Moses and Elijah's telling you, Jesus is the way, well, you might want to believe Him. You might want to believe Him. But that's my opinion. We don't know for sure it's those two men, guys, okay? I'll be the first to tell you, that's my thought, that's my theory, okay? I personally believe Enoch, as you ask, we're going to share what was going on here in the corner before church started because we was talking about this. I think, personally, my opinion, Enoch is a representation, a type and shadow of the church because he was raptured. He was raptured up. He was the great-grandpa of Noah. Great-grandpa of Noah, okay? So before that ark was built, before the wrath of God got poured out, Enoch got took out of here, okay? Guess what? I think it's going to happen is the church is going to be took out of here. We're not going to suffer the tribulation period. I don't believe that one bit, okay? The book of Revelation chapter 3, I think verse 10, I think I sent it to Z this week, because you have, in fact, I'll not suffer you to be tempted. In other words, God takes that church in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, God takes them out of here so that they'll not be here for the hour of temptation that's going to come upon all the earth. But in other words, there's going to be two witnesses and they're going to preach. We can only speculate past that who they are. Anybody got any thoughts or questions? And yours is just as good as mine. I promise you that. Anybody at all? Please.
Significant for anything?
Well, to me, possibly, the Jews, as we know with Jesus and Lazarus, they believe that that spirit stays around that body for 3 days. So for 3.5 days, they lay dead. So that would probably remove any thought in their minds if they wasn't really dead. You know what I'm saying? So 3.5 days, they're dead, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're gone again. That's just a thought.
And then here's another thought. You would think that even in the middle of the tribulation that these people that have just went through the rapture and all the turmoil that is, you know, just saying, oh, the rapture is going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not just that. It's all the turmoil around that rapture.
Absolutely.
But you would think all these people that are left here would have some kind of a fear of God over just that.
Mm-hmm.
And for them to get worse and worse. It's so hard to believe.
It's if it wasn't written, I wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But because of man and man's tendencies, that without God, he always gums it up, as Pastor says, and he always does it. You know what I mean? When man tries to do it on his own, when he's left to his own devices and he tries to figure it out without God, we always gum it up, as Pastor Walker says. So I can believe it. And really, I'm going to tell you another reason I can definitely believe it too, Z, and I think we all can probably. I remember when the world wasn't like it is now. I remember, Paul, when people were kind to each other. I remember when neighbor was a real neighbor. Family was real family. Friends were real friends. They didn't forsake you. People respected Christians. Perfect example. I was talking with my aunt and uncle today, and I brought up to her, and I said, you remember how we used to go to church on Saturday nights? And there would be lost people hearing an altar call on a Saturday night. I said, you can't get Christians in church on Saturday night, let alone lost people. Now, am I telling the truth? You remember those days. Do you not remember those days? We had Saturday services. When I was growing up, you had a Wednesday night service, a Saturday night service, a Sunday morning service, and a Sunday night service. And youth group on Thursday, usually. YPE. Or whatever you called it. You know what I mean? But my point being is, I remember exactly what you just said when people respected the church and respected Christians. And even somebody that was, you know, what people would call an old alcoholic or whatever back in the day, he wouldn't cuss around a Christian on a job site. He would keep his tongue. Or if he did let one slip, Tommy, what, they would apologize, wouldn't they? Tommy, I'm sorry about that, brother. I know you go to church. I'm so sorry. I just got upset. I'm sorry about that, Tommy. I'll try not to. And did you not see that, Tommy? So I, having lived at least in that, I could see how it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Jeff?
To add to what Z had said, I mean, I think in those days, once the church is raptured, you know, even those that were raised in church, that had fallen away, that had maybe backslid, that wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to believe that you were left behind. Sure. You're not going to want to believe
sure.
that you were not raptured with the church. You don't want to think that you sure. were unprepared. And on top of that, everyone that's lost that does not believe in God,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a reason as to why these people left. It could be,
sure.
oh, there was
oh, yeah.
there was another COVID outbreak, and
oh,
these
absolutely.
People just died. And
space aliens come down and got a bunch of them on a ship.
There's going to be a reason.
It's hard to tell what they say.
Yes.
I mean, it's hard. Yeah, I agree with you, brother. It's hard to tell what lies are told.
And those people that knew God, even though they were left behind, they're going to want to believe
mm-hmm.
that lie.
Yeah.
Then I was not good enough to go at that time.
Plus, there's going to be a lot of demonic forces at play then. Strong delusion. You got to take that into play. I was talking to a brother in the Lord yesterday, matter of fact, and we was talking about this similar thing. Here's what he told me. This was his opinion. It's his opinion, you know. And I liked it. I did. As far as anybody going to make it, be saved during the tribulation period. He said, Teddy, I'm going to tell you how I see that. And I said, what's that, brother? He said, I think there will be, because I know what Scripture says. He said, that being said, I don't know if there'll be many Americans. And I went, what do you mean? He said, Teddy, there's people in China right now dying for their beliefs that are Christians. He said, I don't see that happening in the United States. There'll be people that'll be willing to die because they live a life of persecution. But those people that live a life of comfort with freedom, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, not all the time. And you know what? That was one aspect of him just saying that to me. I was like, brother, that's a good point. That's a good point. So, you know, I think complacency happens with comfort. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. But I definitely think there'll be some people, like you said, that wasn't ready. You know, I do believe they're going to know what happened. But then there's going to be some people that want to fall asleep into that lull that's being told, that lie that's being told. If you don't think the government will lie to you, oh, my goodness. What planet or what rock you've been under? Anybody else got a question or comment? Jason?
Have you ever given any thought to one of the witnesses being John?
Because come again. I couldn't hear you, brother.
Have you ever given any thought that one of the witnesses may be John, where it talks about where he's going to prophesy again before many kings, priests, and nations?
Yeah, that's a good thought. That's a good thought, brother. Like I said, there's no way we can definitively say who it is. And since you brought that up, I'll go ahead and tell you that what I shared with them over here. Another thought goes through my mind this, that somebody comes in the spirit of Elijah and in the spirit of Moses or something along those lines. You know, whether it's exactly them or not, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? And like you just said, the Bible don't say, that's why when we started this thing, I said, look, we're just going to go by what the Bible says. You know what I mean? So, you know, we can guess, and yours is just as good as mine. You know what I mean? Anybody else? But all I know is they're what they're going to preach and what's going to happen. You know what I mean? And how the world is going to be at that time. Chapter 12, we're not going to really go real big in that because we did touch a little bit on chapter 12. And I know it's a really symbolic chapter because you see a dragon standing, waiting to eat a child for a woman who's... Here we got Kayla right here, who's with child right now, Miss Kayla Vanover. John sees a woman who's getting ready to give birth to a child and sees a great dragon waiting to devour the child as soon as it's born. But before he could do that, the Lord calls the child up. Okay? So as we see all that, we go, dragons and a woman and giving birth to a child. And man, it gets hard to, my goodness. But when you kind of hear it this way, and look, I'm no genius, but the woman, her description is exactly what Joseph saw back in when the father, remember the dream he had and what the woman had and the crown and this, that, and other, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And it's the same thing. So the woman is Israel. Okay? We know who the child is because it says he'll rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's Jesus Christ. So Israel gave birth to the Messiah. Amen? Okay? And the dragon stood by, Terry, ready to devour the child since he was born. Well, guess what? The angel had to tell Joseph when Jesus was born, take him to Egypt. Because he tried to kill him as soon as he was born. Okay? Chapter 12 is what we call a parenthetical chapter. So in other words, if you were writing something, I'm not good in English either. Tara should probably explain this, or Vicky. But you could be telling a story, and then you have a parenthesis. that kind of just gives a little bit more information to help you understand that. Chapter 12 is one of those things. It is about a specific thing, but it also kind of gives us more detail because his tail drew a third part of the stars. And we know a third part of the angels were cast out of heaven based on that, okay? So in other words, it's given us a little bit of information, Pearl, from the dawn of time. Satan's been against the Israel, against the woman. He's been wanting it. Why? Because what God told the serpent in the garden, what's going to happen? I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. He's going to crush your head eventually. That's what the Lord told him. Said, in other words, there's going to be someone that's coming from her, and so he's going to destroy you. That's the first prophecy in the Bible given in the garden. Okay, after Satan done what he done with Adam and Eve. So in other words, that's what chapter 12 is about. But there's going to be a war that breaks out in heaven. About the middle of the tribulation period, a war is going to break out, and Satan's going to lose his ability of heaven. He ain't going to be able to go back and forth. How do we know he goes back and forth? Because look at Job. Look at Job. And it calls that the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. Okay? Who accused the brethren both day and night. The second heaven where spiritual warfare takes place. You understand what I'm saying? He's going to lose that access. And the Bible says when he gets thrown to the earth, he knows he's got but a short time left. At that time period, the Antichrist who's been rising up and getting all powerful and getting all high and mighty in himself. Pride goeth before destruction. Amen. Pride goes before the fall. That man opens himself up, and when Satan offers him something that he offered Jesus, the Bible says that Satan went to Jesus and said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus rebuked him. He's going to make the same offer to this guy, and he's going to take him up on it. That's what it is. He's going to take it up, and that's how he's going to overcome the two witnesses, because he's going to be satanically possessed. He's going to have the power of Satan himself, and he's going to kill the two witnesses in Jerusalem about the middle of the tribulation period, roughly. Okay? And that's what's going to happen. That's what happens in chapter 12. If you have chapter 13, I'm going to go ahead because we want to get to the mark of the beast. Chapter 13, I'm going to read a little bit for sake of time. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, with his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. A dragon gave him power, and the dragon gave him his power. Who's the dragon? Satan. So Satan gives him his power and his seat and great authority. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. What's Satan always wanted? Betty, what's Satan always wanted? He's wanted to be worshiped, ain't he? And they worshiped who? The dragon. Make it plain, guys. This ain't just Satanists, okay? This is an evil time period to be living in on planet Earth. And it says, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So now all of a sudden, Satan's got two specific things he wants. He's got someone that he can raise up, and he's got worship. Okay? So now all of a sudden, he's got two parts of the unholy Trinity. Father and Son, Holy Spirit. Satan and the Antichrist. There's two parts of it. Almost like the anti of the Father and Son. Okay? That's what he always wanted, guys. He always wanted to be worshipped as God. I will ascend up. I will be like the Most High. What's he always wanted, Pearl? Worship. Worship. It's what he's always wanted. So now all of a sudden, you've got someone that's now standing up and doing his bidding for him. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 42 months. You guys remember when we talked about Matthew chapter 24, unless his days be shortened, there'll be no flesh saved. But because of the elect's sake, his days shall be shortened. 42 months. Because if I give him more than that, he would destroy the nation of Israel, wipe out my promise with Abraham, and God ain't no liar. God's not no liar. So his days are shortened for the elect's sake. That's how we know it's a 42-month period of time. It's the second half of the tribulation, which is called the Great Tribulation, when it gets even worse. And you guys have said here, last couple weeks, last 3 or 4 weeks, and we've talked about how bad it's going to be after the rapture. From the middle of the tribulation on, Bubby, it's a whole lot worse. And you talk about this, and people say, I'll wait through the tribulation period to get saved? Are you serious? Are you serious, folks? Like we said last week, Josh hates people to kill each other for a roll of toilet paper during COVID-19. They would have beat somebody up for a roll of toilet paper. Imagine being hungry, starving to death, no water. Hey, guys, have you ever been real thirsty before? Listen, I used to play football years ago. Now, I'm just using this as an example. It ain't like I hadn't drunk for days, Sam. But I'm telling you right now, they run our guts plumb out of us. People tell you, if you don't understand, if you never did it, you don't know what I'm telling you about. Back in those days, that's all I can tell you, and I don't want to be one that says, back in my day, Jason, you know what I'm talking about here. It was like boot camp. Water was a reward. There was times I didn't drink during all practice. If you didn't run the play like they thought you should, they used water as a reward. And I'm telling you right now, to this day, I still remember a 10-foot joint of half-inch CPVC pipe with two caps on the end of it and a half-inch drill bit, drilled about 10 slots in that, and they hooked a garden hose up to it with a turn-on nozzle. And when you went and drunk, you sucked water out of that pipe with a bunch of other guys like a water trough. You'd put your mouth on that hole and you'd start sucking, and everybody else would pop their heads up and they'd say, quit sucking on it. Why? Because if this guy's down here sucking, there ain't no pressure to get to you. That is the truth. I've drunk out of mud holes before because I was so thirsty. My mouth felt like cotton. I'm just telling you, being thirsty is not a great thing. I probably was a little dehydrated, but it wasn't like I had went days and days without water. 3 days, guys, most humans die. There's going to be people die of thirst in the tribulation period. They're going to die of thirst. It ain't going to take a plague. It ain't going to take a wormwood. They're going to die of thirst, Vicky. Thirst is a bad way to die. There's people in hell right now still wishing somebody would take their finger and dip it in water and touch their tongue because they're tormented in the flame. Water is a very vital part of life, okay? And we take it for granted so much. We take it for granted so much. There's people throughout this world, they will hike 10 miles a day just to get drinking water and bring it back to their families in some villages in remote parts of this world. They do it to this day, and we can go turn a spigot on, flush a toilet, and waste a gallon and a half. I mean, it's just the truth, guys. We are so blessed, and we take it for granted. But in the tribulation period, that's not going to happen. All this comfort that we know is going to be stripped from us. Okay, or from whoever's here. I don't plan on being here. Amen. But anyway, he's raising up. Then there's a second beast in verse 11. I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Two horns like a lamb. So he looks holy. Who's the lamb? Jesus. But he spake as a dragon. He looked holy, but he really wasn't. So to the people, he looks holy, but he really ain't. Okay, that's what the Bible's letting us know there. Okay, and it says, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So in other words, there's going to be another one rise up, and he's going to point people toward the Antichrist. He's going to be a religious man. He's going to look like a holy fella. Religion will take you to hell. Salvation will take you to Jesus. Amen? How many religions are in this world? Amen? Okay? And you ready for this? Had a guy tell me this a couple days ago. Loved it. I sent it to Pastor Walker, matter of fact. He said, religious walls are built strong. They are. If you was raised not to believe a certain thing, how you was raised, how I was raised, and that's just a denominational issue. It's hard to get over that initially. You don't believe in tongues. You don't believe in this. You don't believe in that. You wasn't raised like that. It takes you a long time to to get past those walls. Now imagine if you was raised to believe Islam, Buddhism, Hindu, all those things. You understand what Catholic, all those things. Those people ain't going to budge. They ain't going to budge. In other words, religious walls are built well. They're strong. They're hard for people to overcome. They think they're doing right. They don't know the truth of the gospel at this time period is what we're talking about. And says he doeth great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on earth inside of men and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which was wounded by sword and did live. You remember when we talked about in the book of Thessalonians that he'll stand in the temple as God. He'll set up an image of the beast and the image will speak. This is the guy that's going to do it. The false prophet is his name. That's what the Bible names him. There's going to be a religious man. Because guess what? Religion will be alive and well in the tribulation period. Religion. Because the devil today has all kinds of religion. What's the biggest thing religion will tell you? There's many ways to God. Right? Okay? What's the Bible say? Who is that? The truth, the way, and the life. Amen? And anybody that tries to come to the Father is a thief and a robber. Okay? There is the problem that lies with religion versus salvation and relationship with Jesus Christ. There's the difference. But this man is going to present a religion. Okay? He's going to be a holy man to people. He's going to appear to be a good fella. Now, when I say this guy's name, please, I'm not saying he's the false prophet, okay? I know we're being recorded, okay? I'm not saying the Pope right now is the false prophet. But you know there's a lot of people in this world that look up to that man because of that institution. Okay? Now, what if somebody like that, 1 billion Catholics in the world, for example, that's what they estimate, 1 billion, there's only 7 billion people in the world. I don't know if you know that. So they're saying 1 in 7 is a Catholic. Okay, I'm just saying, okay. Now imagine a man, something like that, in an office, something like that, or whatever you want to call it, and a bunch of people obviously don't go in the rapture. They didn't really know Jesus, or they'd have been gone. Okay, plain simple. But now all of a sudden, this man says, there's the Messiah. That's what Antichrist is. It doesn't mean that he's necessarily against everything Christ. It's like he wants to appear that he is the Christ. He wants to be worshipped. Satan wants to be worshipped. And the false prophet says, that's the guy you need to worship right here. And if you're a follower of that religion, you're going to listen to what that guy says. Well, he'd be like your pope. Well, he must be it. What's the proof that he's it? Well, this guy brings fire down from heaven too. Because Satan has given him power. There's demonic forces at work in the earth in these days, guys. People are going to believe lies and be damned. That's just the truth. And people say, I can do it. I'll wait till after the rapture and in a tribulation I'll get saved. Are you serious? Are you serious? Why would anybody take that mentality? But that's the truth. Deception will be everywhere. Okay? So now all of a sudden we've got the third part of the unholy Trinity. You've got the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now all of a sudden you've got Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. That's what you got. Those three figures that now want to control the scene, control the world, be worshipped as God. That's what this is all about, guys. The tribulation period for them is about grabbing power. It's about manipulation. It's about being worshipped. It's about Satan, what he's always wanted in the beginning. Look, guys, he's Satan. You know what language Satan speaks? I speak English. There's other people who speak Chinese. There's people who speak Spanish. You know the language of Satan? Lies. Jesus said he's a liar and a father of it. He's a murderer and a liar from the beginning. That's what Jesus said about him. He's a liar and a murderer, and that's what he was from the beginning. That's who you're dealing with, is Satan, a liar and a murderer. Plain and simple. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because he listened to the chief of murderers. That's Satan. He done after his father. That's what it is, plain and simple. I know I'm kind of shooting straight tonight, but guess what? That's what has to be heard. But it says, and he does great wonders. He deceives them by the means of the miracles that he does in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to him. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Remember what we said? that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save that he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for is the number of man. His number is 666, or 666. So in other words, what happens is he institutes an economic system. He causes the world, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. So what that means, that's everybody. John's not leaving anybody. It don't matter if you're Bill Gates or a coal miner or a guy working at Hardee's or a guy living under the bridge. It does not matter, free or great. Nobody's exempt from it, is what John's saying. It don't matter what your land. If you was a Rockefeller, it doesn't matter if you're the guy that owns Amazon, it don't matter. There is no big I's and little U's that's going to be exempt from it. You're not going to be able to buy yourself out of it in those days. That's what he's saying. Rich, free, great, poor, it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to have the mark if they want to buy, sell, or trade. And I've heard people say, well, I'll just grow a garden. Good luck with that. Trying to find water. Fire everywhere. Pestilence. Sunlight. Good luck with that. Good luck. I mean, I'm not saying you won't get a few tomatoes here and there. I don't know what to tell you. You might get lucky with some pockets here and there. I wouldn't want to be taking my chance on it. I don't know about you guys. I'm not going to stake my eternal soul on it, Pearl. I'm not going to do it. There you go. One of my funniest things is you've got a lot of people that really believe that doomsday preppers. They really believe that. It don't matter how much, Jason, it don't matter how much you would prepare. All it takes is a stronger man to take it from you. It doesn't matter. You could come out of the bunker or whatever and go do, somebody hit you over the head and that's it. All that work and planning you done is gone because now he has it. And that's the way it's going to be, guys. I mean, that's the way it's going to be in those days. Any questions about the mark of the beast or anything like that? Yeah, get the microphone, sweetheart. Hold the mute button. When it turns green, you're good.
Question is backing up to Revelation 13:1 when we're talking about the first beast coming out of the sea.
Yes.
So we know that that's imagery. That's a person.
Yes.
How does a person come out of the sea?
And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. So what he's seeing a beast that rises up out of a multitude of people. In other words, he's not a set person. He's not King Charles that was born with a position. I use King Charles because we ain't got a lot of monarchs nowadays. Or he's not somebody that raised, man, I hate saying it this way because it sounds like I'm pointing at people. But you guys know as well as I do, it matters a lot in this world what your last name is. You know as well as I do. Even politics. You got to have money to run for president. It's the truth. The Kennedys are still wealthy people. Okay, I'm not saying I was anti-JFK, but I'm just saying, if you're born a Kennedy, you have a step up just because of your name and things of that nature. But this man is going to rise up out of the sea of people, out of the multitude of people. There's not going to be nothing about him that says he's special when he starts other than what he does and what he says. He's going to rise up out of a mass of people is what I think John is seeing. He's seeing somebody just rise up out of humanity. Somebody that just comes up out of nowhere. There's no reason why he should be so popular, but he is. We eventually know why he is. But there's somebody that just rises up. And all of a sudden, this is the guy. This is the guy, plain and simple. And people are going to follow after. And I think we underestimate, too, also, the power of the demonic influence. That's what I think we can't begin to fathom. We can't begin to understand. People says they won't believe in him because this right here tells me it's going to happen. Oh, they're going to believe it. First of all, deception's going to be everywhere. And I think of Pastor Walker's mother, Anna. I love that he's told that story here when he was preaching, how she used to She would write the scripture down. And she had written Bibles because she believed someday they may take these. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't think there's going to be as many Bibles as you think back either then. And especially everybody that has just an electronic one only. An electronic one only, man, they could, man, they would, let me go ahead and say it. If that's all you rely on, and look, I have an iPad. I study on it too. I'm not speaking anything against that. But if that's all you have, and a new generation seems to be all they have, and if Lord tarries, is coming, even more so, relies on technology. Guys, your phone uses updates all the time, don't it? Your iPad doesn't update all the time. How easy would it be for somebody to update a new version? You download it to a phone or an iPad, and it changes that scripture just a little bit. And you don't know really what it means, what it says. You'll be deceived. What was it? It says right here in the Bible. Right there. That's what it says. I'm just saying, people are going to be deceived. There's going to be a lot of deception in that day. And keep in mind, those people that really probably would be able to point that out, they're gone. They're gone. Most of them are gone. Okay? So, I mean, it to me, it's the deception part is the big thing. Pastor Walker said it 1,000 times. To me, the deception part. But I think he rises up out of the sea of humanity, just comes up out of nowhere, Sam. That's the way I see it. Anybody else?
Yeah. When you were talking about Satan was a liar and murderer from the beginning, it says, I thought instantly about not only Cain and Abel, but I thought about humanity.
Yeah.
Whenever the fall came,
sure.
Because he tried to kill every one of us.
Yes.
Through all the future people that was going to be, you know, he tried to kill humanity.
Absolutely.
But he also tried to kill God.
Yeah.
He wanted to take control of
absolutely.
All of that.
Absolutely. 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 And as far as the 7 heads and 10 horns, that's a representation back to Daniel, and we'll hit that a little bit further. Yeah. 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 I understand that. But like I said, the crowns and that, you know, there's going to be nations that give their power to the beast. Those 10 horns and stuff like that, they're going to give their power to the beast. That's a little bit later in the scripture. It kind of gives a little bit more detail about that. Anybody else? Great questions, by the way. Okay, no? Let's go a little bit further, okay? Chapter 14, because I figure this is going to be a sticking point. Chapter 14 is literally the 144,000 now appear in heaven with Jesus. So something's happened, whether they were caught up, whether they were raptured up, whatever it is, they're now on Mount Zion, okay? So that's 144,000 somewhere in that time period are no longer on the earth because now they're with Jesus. So that tells me they were sealed with the seal of God. They couldn't be hurt. They fulfilled the destiny that they were sent to fulfill. Okay? Some people believe that they were ministering. They were part of a worldwide revival. The 144,000 and the two witnesses were part of a worldwide revival. Okay? But whatever it is, at this point in time, after the mark of the beast starts coming on the scene, after the two witnesses are killed, they're no longer on the earth. So now their voice is taken off the earth. So whatever they were doing, they obviously were doing it for God because they had His seal. Now they're removed, Vicky. So what little bit of truth that you do have continues to be taken off the planet. People that had the power and the authority and the knowledge and the understanding of the truth of God being able to say, this man ain't who he says he is. This man ain't who he says he is. Do not do this. Do not do that. So, in other words, the true messengers are starting to be removed off the planet. Okay? But God loves humans so much. And God loves people so much because they're made in His image. And it's not His will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That we know is Scripture. Well, in the same chapter, an angel proclaims the gospel. The two witnesses are gone. 144,000 are gone. But now all of a sudden there's a gospel, Jason, or an angel that shows up proclaiming the gospel on the planet. An angel shows up proclaiming the gospel. And it says he does it to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. So in other words, he's not just in the United States. He's not just in Africa. He's just not in the Philippines. Every person on the planet is hearing. He's not located in one spot. He's going throughout the globe proclaiming the gospel to all these different people. Okay? So in other words, and then the gospel will be preached throughout all the world, and then the end comes. Matthew chapter 24. So human beings can send missionaries, right? Satellite TV can take place. Yeah, God's still reaching out to people all over the planet. Whosoever will let him come and take of the water of life freely. That's where we're at, the church age right now. Well, the church is taken out of here. God gives some new assignments to two witnesses and 144,000. There's preaching still going on. Two witnesses are gone, 144,000 gone. God sends an angel to preach the gospel. Why is he preaching the gospel if there's no option? Why is he preaching the gospel? There's no option. Because God loves people, and it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And there's some places that can't hear the gospel unless an angel gives it to them. I don't know where the tribes in the Amazon are living at. Do you? As we shared last week, there's some places, Nick, that don't have satellite TV. There's some places that missionaries have never been to. God knows those places. And they're going to be preached to. Every kindred tongue, I just read it to you. Okay, I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. Okay, and then another angel comes and he announces that Babylon is going to fall. It's going to be judged. Okay, we're going to go into that a little bit more. We'll touch on that just a little bit. And then finally, a third angel, ready for this? And you know what he does? He warns man not to take a mark or they'll be doomed. That's what that angel does. So you got one angel preaching the gospel. You got one angel proclaiming that Babylon's getting ready to get judged. Babylon is the economic and the religious system of the Antichrist and the false prophet. In other words, at the end of the tribulation period, they're going to fall because guess what? The king's getting ready to come back. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is getting ready to come back. So God will judge them. But, and now all of a sudden you got what? An angel warning people not to take the mark of the beast. Or if you do, you will have your place in the lake of fire with the false prophet and the Antichrist. Now, my question to you is this. For our big question that took over the session last week. If there's nobody that has a chance, if the door is closed, why would there be a warning, don't take it? Don't take it. Don't take it. Because if you're already doomed, and there's no chance whatsoever, once the rapture of the church takes place, why give you a warning? Go ahead and take it. Eat, drink, be merry, because we die tomorrow. 7 years, we're going to die. But God is continually giving us examples in Scripture and showing us that He loves people. Why preach the gospel? There'd be no point. Okay? I think a lot of times we try to symbolize everything in the book of Revelation. We do. We try to over-symbolize. That's what we talked about chapter 7 last week. Who were these? John said, you know, these are those that made it through, that came through great tribulation. Made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. Why'd they die? For the Word of God and their testimony. That's what it said. Okay? This piggybacks right off of that. God loves you so much that He's going to send an angel to preach the gospel. For anybody, that one soul that might hear it and believe. That's who He is, guys. You understand how loving He is. You're going through hell on earth, but there might be that one, and He still wants to save them. And I know this might not be popular in what you were raised or what you heard growing up. I understand that. But I'm going to read a scripture here in a minute that goes into the responsibility that we have just to share the scripture, Jason. Just the scripture. Not only will He send an angel to do that, but an angel to warn him, don't take the mark. There's deception everywhere. The news is saying take the mark. The beast is saying take the mark. The religious system and the false prophets saying take the mark. CNN is saying take the mark. MSNBC is saying take the mark. Fox News is saying take the mark. BBC is saying take the mark. All of these things are saying take the mark. God sends an angel and says, don't do it. If you do it, you're going to hell. Guys, I ain't making it up. It's there. I ain't making that up. That's there. Why do we need to tell the whole truth of the Scripture? Why do we need to tell the whole truth of the Scripture? And why do we need to be serious about the book of Revelation? Chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 says this, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Why do I take this serious? Because I better. I better. I share with you my understanding of this word. I don't share with you what I was taught coming up. I can't ignore what the Scripture says. Guys, I can't ignore it. And I'm not going to take anything away from it, Tommy. I can't do that. Okay? I can try to over-symbolize it if I want to. I can try to symbolize. And look, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. I promise I love you and there's nothing. You might be right. But all I can do is read this Scripture and give it to you what this Scripture says. I'm not going to ignore this. I'm not going to do it, guys, because here's how I see it. I was riding my mower, Vicki, talking to the Lord. Yesterday or day before yesterday. I'm thinking about all this stuff here, and that's this question right here. Because it won't go away. Every time I go in the book of Revelation, it's the big question that comes. And that's why I will never give anybody a straightforward answer. If you're listening to this right now on this app, that will anybody be saved in the tribulation period? Yes. I'm never going to give you that because you need to understand how bad it's going to be. You need to understand God don't want you here for that. Today is the day of salvation. There's opportunity, and all I can tell you is because this says so. Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's so important. But as I was cutting grass, see, here's what I thought. Michael, I was, as anybody is, I've been influenced by all the preachers that I've listened to all my life. All the teachers that I've sat under, and I've sat under some good ones, some great ones. Okay? And I don't put any of them down. None of them. Okay? None of them. Okay? Just because somebody don't, you now I'm 48 years old, I look back and say, well, I probably didn't agree with that. I don't think he was trying to steer me wrong or she was trying to steer me wrong. I've sat under some great Bible people, and I thank God for that. They've influenced me, Sam, in a positive way. That being said, some of the stuff that I was taught about this Scripture, they done the best they could do in the time period that they were living in. They didn't have the advantages that you have today to be able to look anything up in the internet, Par. To be able to, I remember there was a time, if there was one person in Greenville that had a book of encyclopedias, and you had a book report or something that had to be due, you go ask Mary, "Mary, do you have the B? Do you have the M? Honey, I just gave that to Joey. Gosh. Now I'm gonna have to wait till the library's open now. That's the only other place that's got it." I lived in those days, okay? So I remember it very well. You didn't have an answer right at your fingertips. Okay? So I mean that. Those people done the best they could do, and they done 99.9% of it spot on. Okay? I don't want to put anybody down. I thank God for my upbringing. I do. That being said, if you're born in such age, you didn't even know the nation of Israel was going to come into play. We talked about that. You're limited, guys. God's going to reveal more as the time goes on, as you see time unfolding. You're able to put it together a little bit better because you live now. You didn't die in 1952. Okay? I don't mean they were wrong. I don't mean they was doing anything wrong. It just means they couldn't grasp it. They couldn't understand it. Just like John trying to write down all this stuff. He's seeing things and ain't even words to describe it, Nick. What is this? Imagine John trying to write this stuff down that he's seeing. There's machines that hadn't even 2,000 years from being invented. John's trying to put it on the paper, scrolls. Think about that. You understand what I'm saying? But here's what, as I was cutting grass, here's what everybody that influenced you, now you're influencing the next generation. I take that serious. I take it serious, guys. I don't want to steer anybody wrong. What I do when I'm up here, I'm giving you the Word of God. And when I feel it's my opinion, like I did to two witnesses, I tell you, this is my opinion. But I'm telling you what the Scripture says. Okay? Could I be wrong? I could be. Certain things. Do I know everything? No. But all I know is what chapter 7 said. And I know what this says. They were preaching the gospel, and they were warning people not to take the mark. Why would you do that if there wasn't a chance? That's all I'm saying, guys. That's all I'm saying, okay? And I'm not going to take away anything from what this says, because I don't want my name took out of the book of life. Amen? I'm not trying to add anything to it. I'm not. I'm just telling you, this is what the Scripture says. Whether that was popular to me growing up or not, I have to like it or lump it. I ain't got no option. That's why I told you guys about Matthew chapter 24. Why do I feel the Lord has given me an understanding of Matthew 24? Because I tried like a Dickens to shove the church in there for years. Done everything I could, Vicki, to put the church in there. Well, maybe right here is where the church is. Well, maybe right there is where the church is. But I always stand out on an island. Finally, God just says, when are you going to listen to what I'm telling you? Okay? That's not the church. That's my elect. That's Israel. And it links right into 25, the sheep and the goats. And we'll get on to that. Okay, me and Brother Dave's talked a little bit about that. But we'll get on to all that stuff, okay? But my point being is, when we talk about this right here, what we're talking about, that's why I'm so passionate about it. I know that I've got a grave responsibility, and I don't take it lightly. Okay, I know that. I'm not trying to give anybody false hope, Josh, that you need to wait, that you should wait, that you should even think you could wait till after the rapture and get saved. Please do not do that. Today is the day of salvation. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. You need to be saved while the mercy's door is open. But if you do not, then I'm telling you, this is what the Scripture says. And if the angel says, don't take the mark, Teddy Dean's going to stand before you right now and say, don't take the mark. Don't ever take the mark. Because I've had people say, well, what if you take the mark? Well, you're dead. You're doomed. You're going to hell. There's no coming back from that. The Bible makes it plain. You got no shot. None whatsoever. And as we said before, well, I'll not take the mark. Let's see if your grandbaby's starving to death. Let's see if you still have that attitude if you're starving to death. Let's see if you're so dry that your lips are cracking. Your body's shutting down because you got no water. Let's see if somebody comes by and says, man, just take this mark. Man, we're living in the lap of luxury. Really? There's very few people that would choose the life of the poor man. They'll choose the life of Lazarus. The rich man, you understand what I'm saying? They don't want Lazarus. They want the rich man's life. Amen? Anybody got any questions or comments? I don't mean to. Yes, ma'am. Use that mic.
This one's not. Is it work? Okay. He told us at work one day that he told his girls, because they were saying, "What, Dad, what if we don't make it?" He said, "Cut your heads off."
Oh, gosh.
I mean, just do it right then. Cut your heads off, because
I do that.
You will not, you know.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't say that.
No.
I wouldn't. No, I don't agree with that. But I understand what you're saying. That's what information that he told them. I'm saying today is the day of salvation. I believe this, guys. I believe people that are in hell can recall every altar service they ever sat through. That's how serious I believe this is. I believe they'll remember every time somebody witnessed to them for Jesus. I believe they'll remember every call when the Holy Spirit touched them. I believe there's people in hell right now that know that. To be in hell is to be eternally separated from God. You chose that. You said, God, no, I do not want you in my heart. And God dishonors your wishes in eternity. That's what hell is. Not just counting the flames and the torments and the worm dying not. You're eternally separated. What the saddest thing to me, Terry, about hell is there's no opportunity to come back from. It's eternal. Where a tree falls, there it lies. I believe that. Guys, I am old school. I don't budge off that. But if you don't make it, if the rapture happens and you don't, then never take the mark. Never take the mark. Don't ever do that whatsoever. Good luck. That's all I can say is good luck, because that's all I can say. Good luck. But don't take the mark for sure.
Yeah. Don't take the mark. When you even get a sniffle, a cold, you get anything wrong with you now, what do you do?
Go to the doctor.
The first thing you do is, it's almost like you feel like mm-hmm. you're going to die if you don't.
Yeah.
All these things that would happen to you, you run, because you want to live.
Yes.
And that same thing is going to be when that mark of the beast happens.
If you have an asthma attack.
The slightest thing.
If you have an asthma attack or your child has an asthma attack, you ain't got the mark, they won't see you at the hospital.
That's right.
Can't get the medicine.
That's right.
If you're a diabetic on insulin, can't get the medicine.
Yep.
Well, that's a death knell. You're done.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And people will do it. And listen, guys, I have a grandbaby. You guys know about Luke and his asthma, or whatever it is. He sees a pulmonologist soon, but whatever it is. You guys know. And I've seen him struggle to breathe. Okay? That being said, that'll break your heart. And if that child is conceived after the rapture and that happens, you could say, I won't take that mark. But if you know if I walk in and take that mark, he gets that medicine and he's fine, you'll do it. I'm telling you, 99.9% of the people will do it. That's how serious I believe this is. Anybody else with anything? Okay, for sake of time, because I'm going to keep this thing on rolling, chapters 15 and 16 literally talk about the plagues of God. Look, you don't have to pull your Bibles out. I'll just tell you what it talks about. It's the vials of the wrath of God being poured out. Okay, so everything that's bad happens only even increasing. Those that take the mark are being punished by God as well. There's just plagues of God being unleashed on the planet in those two chapters. And chapters 17 and 18, which is going to be the last ones we talk a little bit about tonight, and I'm not going to go deep into it. We can kind of touch on that next time. That literally, because there's a lot of symbolism in those things, 17 and 18 literally is economic Babylon and religious Babylon falling. The harlot, the guy that rides the harlot and stuff like that, that's the false prophet that who has the religious system, has people worshiping the beast. God judges that and he overthrows the religious system. In the very next chapter, he overthrows the economic system. So in other words, everything that the Antichrist has built up, his religion, his world system, his economy, toward the end of the tribulation period, when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is getting ready to come back, he's going to start tearing it all back apart. And here's how I see about that, guys. Who created the earth? He knows where every nut and bolt is. Amen? He knows where everything's at. Nothing that man does will ever stand if it's not connected to God. So when the Antichrist builds up a religious system and an economic system that everybody says is so great, it's going to fall apart. At the end of the tribulation period, it's going to start coming apart as well. And then it's leading up to a bunch of people wanting to say, okay, it's time to make a trip to the Middle East. It's time to make a trip to the Valley of Megiddo because the king's getting ready to come back at Armageddon. God is starting to prepare the world to say, okay, it's time for my son to come back and take control of everything. You guys have tried it. You've done failed. You've done proved again that you're going to gum it up. So the only way to have lasting, true world peace is to have the king come back. Amen? So next week, Lord willing, that's what we'll hit on next week. We'll hit on the return of Jesus and the second coming, and we'll go into the millennial reign, which in my opinion is one of the most fascinating part of the Bibles. In my opinion, the millennial reign is very seldom taught on and very needed to understand. And guess what? It's exciting for a Christian. The millennial reign is when you get to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. And he's going to literally be the King of Kings. Why is he called the King of Kings and Lord of Lords if he ain't going to reign? That don't even make no sense, does it, when you just say it like that? Why is he called that? Because he's going to reign on this planet for 1,000 years. He's going to put all authority under his feet. That's what he's going to do, okay? And we'll get into that next week. Has anybody got any questions or comments? Thank you guys for letting me ramble on. Is that it? God bless you. See you next week.